Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. My guest today is Jenny Walsh. Jenny Walsh was our son's teacher during both 5th and 7th grade at Kent Middle School in Kentfield, California. Jenny is now the assistant principal at that same school. Today we'll be talking about the music she's heard calling her. We'll also be talking about the importance of feeling good about yourself, feeling happy and thankful, believing in your dreams, and why it's important to live the music you hear calling you. Jenny was born in San Francisco and then attended schools in Marin County, California. She's a graduate of both Basish Elementary School and Kent Middle School. After graduating from Marin Catholic High School, she attended UCLA, where she received her Bachelor of Arts degree in theater. Jenny's experience in college included a year abroad in England, sponsored by Sarah Lawrence College, where she studied with the British American Drama Academy. Later, her interest in American Sign Language led her to an internship at the California School for the Deaf, where she worked in a second grade classroom. She loved teaching so much that she decided to go into education. Upon completion of her teaching credential program through Dominican University, Jenny joined the Kent staff as a fifth grade teacher in 1998. She then taught sixth grade speech and seventh grade language arts. Jenny moved into administration in 2005 when she became assistant principal. She holds a multiple subjects clear credential with a CLAD emphasis and a professional clear credential in administrative leadership. Jenny lives in Marin County, California, with her husband and two children. They enjoy spending time together hiking and biking on the beautiful trails of Marin. Hello, Jenny. Are you there?
I am here. Hi, Margot. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you today, Jenny. You have been such a huge part of our life ever since when Xander was in fifth grade and then later in seventh grade. And just having you and the rest of the wonderful, awesome teachers in the Kentfield School District has just been such a blessing in our lives. And we are so grateful and so thankful to live in an area where there's public schools that are so amazing.
I feel really blessed to be a part of that community, and it's so rewarding to hear that you make a difference, because in education, you know, you get a new class of students each year, and you are focused on September to June, and you wonder, you know, you can't help but wonder as a human being, I wonder if I had any influence. Did they like what they learned? Did they enjoy their time? And I feel like we don't get enough of our graduates coming back to let us know how they're doing. So keeping in touch with you and hearing how Xander is doing as a young adult is so rewarding, and it reminds me of, this is why I get up in the morning, this is why I enjoy working in public education, is to hear about the amazing things that our young people go on to do long after they've been in our halls.
Oh, I know it is long after, too, because I was just realizing recently that Xander graduated from 8th grade at Kent in 2004, in June of 2004. So we're coming up on 10 years since he graduated from your school.
Wow, that is incredible. It definitely can age you, but at the same time, it really is so wonderful to see our graduates as grown-ups, so to speak, young grown-ups. I've been lucky to have two of my former students work as substitute teachers in the last year, and it's just marvelous to talk to them and get to know them more as an equal, as a peer, and it doesn't, you know, I thought, oh, it might make me feel so old to see my former students come back, but it's really such a treat. It's just a treat to see them with so much more going on to their lives and so well-rounded and confident. And middle school is a time where kids really are just trying to fall in line with each other. it's one of the harder points of early adolescence that as mm-hmm. adults who work with them, we're always encouraging them, hoping that they'll find their individuality and go with it. But we know it's really like pushing a rock up a hill sometimes because the kids just want to be like everybody else. So it's lovely to see them come back and have jobs and travel and life experiences that it's really rewarding to see them again.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. And that's the thing is that my aunt Bobby I had on the show on the 2nd of April because I had wanted to have teachers on this month, and the two of you were two of the most inspiring teachers that I could think of to have on the show. And because of growing up seeing her being a teacher and then watching all of you teachers that are amazing, I realized that how much you guys love the children and how much love and passion you put into it all. And then for the parents and the students not to let you know later that you made a difference, to me that's just a terrible thing. You know, you really have made an incredible difference in their lives. And one of the things that I'll always remember is when Xander was in fifth grade, I had gotten him the book by Derek Jeter, The Life You Imagine, and he had you for language arts, and he had to give a book report, and he had to dress up as Derek Jeter as a Yankee, which is pretty interesting considering that we're Giants fans, but it was so much fun seeing him dressed up as Derek Jeter and learning about the fact that Derek Jeter had to set so many goals in order to get where he wanted to go. And I remember Vicki Sievers, who is also another one of the wonderful teachers there at Kent at the time that Xander was there, asking us, well, what makes him feel most alive when he's doing it? And it was funny, Jenny, because I asked him at the time, and I thought he would say music because he loved doing those things. And at the time, he said it was baseball, pitching in the baseball games. And if you think about it, think how you have to totally be in the moment when you're doing that.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting because he started out almost not playing baseball, and that's a whole long story in itself. But he ended up being someone who played baseball in high school, but he also went through theater in high school and ended up majoring in film production at Chapman University. And now he's an assistant film editor in Hollywood. And so, you know, the whole thing, though, of the confidence that you people as teachers were able to give him during those years while he was growing up. Also, Darlene Dinelli over at Basish, she was just amazing, too. And he had so many wonderful teachers in both of the schools, in Basish Elementary and over at your school. And
yeah. It's a great place to send your kid, and it's an honor to be there. I love being able to work with kids on just that, about learning to find your confidence, learning to find your joy, loving what you do, giving it your all, really trying to, I used to say to kids when I was asking for the answer to something and no hands would go up, kids were kind of nervous, I would say, you know, raise your hand, be willing to be wrong. Like, I would raise your hand and just try anything because we just be brave enough to make a mistake because that's often how you gain the confidence to try harder, to study more, or to just be willing. It just teaches you to be willing to put yourself out there. And when you see pockets of students like Xander here and there who have this self-assuredness about, not a cockiness, just they feel good in who they are, to feel that way at an 11, 12, 13 years of age is difficult for most kids. And I think we take our job so seriously, but in a good way, is that we find it's, at least I do, it's almost like our mission to teach children how to find their uniqueness, that there's only one of them. And that's what it is to be extraordinary, is to be the best you that you can be. And when I see the kids graduate in eighth grade, there are different children who I know have struggled along the way that I just want to run out of my seat and go skipping down the corridor with them, because I'm just so proud of what they've accomplished. And I feel like my role is almost sacred in that I'm like the keeper of their foibles and their, you know, missteps and those, some of the personal things that they have to overcome in their 4 years with us at our school, that I find it such a privilege to be along for the journey, because it's no easy feat to go from 10 years old to 13 or 14 years old as you graduate eighth grade. Some kids sail through, and then other kids, it's a little bit of a stormy seas here and there, but to be a part of that is what gives me so much joy each week that I go to work, is I know that if I can help kids learn to be independent, unique, value who they are, then I'm doing a good thing, I think.
Oh, you totally are. And that reminds me of something that Wayne Dyer had always said. He had always said that what matters most is how you feel, and to learn, you need to feel good. And so he had said, why aren't we teaching kids how to feel good, you know, how to feel good about yourself, how to feel good about what you do, how to feel good about the world you're living in and your contribution to it. And it sounds to me like that is part of what you're doing there at Kent Middle School, and what they were probably also doing at Basish as well, prepare them for your school.
A lot of times I think, and you know this because you've written about it and you've interviewed so many people about living their music, is that I find that there's sometimes it's the art of listening too in order to hear your calling. And we try to help the kids hear that too, because there's so much static in their life by what's coming at them. I should do baseball because everybody does that in the spring. I should do soccer. Everybody does that this time. I should follow along, and I should wear those clothes, and I should look outwards, and that will be, you know, my reflection of what I should make myself look like. And really it's about teaching the kids to turn off the noise. Same with adults, to turn off the noise, be quiet, and listen for your purpose. And I think it's something you cultivate. I don't think it comes easily, at least not always. And really go inward. What is it? Notice about yourself when you're feeling good, when you're feeling happy. That will give you your guidance. But a lot of times we don't turn off all the buzz and take some time for reflection and feel it. And hear it and feel it, and that kind of guides you. And I remember it being hard for me when I first started. I did plays growing up, K through 8, and then when I went to high school, I read about the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco as being one of the best schools for young actors to get a lot of training before you go into college. And you know, I had to put down some other things that I weren't making me as happy, and it was sort of rare. I didn't know anyone who wanted to do these classes, and I had been, for someone who went into acting, I was kind of shy growing up, and I sort of always needed a friend. I wanted to go to Girl Scout camp, but I wanted to go with a friend, or if I took summer classes. And it was the first time in my life where I wanted it so much that I was willing to just be, you know, my mother would drive me in before I could drive and drop me off, and no one in the class was from Marin County, and they all went to these different schools in the city, and I had to really break out of my shell, make conversation, get to know people, and then when I turned 16, I was, you know, super motivated to learn how to drive a stick shift because it was the only car I was going to get to drive, and if I wanted to get myself into the city, I'd better learn how to, you know, come to a stop on a very steep hill in the hills of San Francisco.
Oh, God.
But
yeah,
especially
in San Francisco, that would be really a challenge.
Yeah, and when I drive with my kids and I go on the same road, I go, oh, I can't tell you how many times I got stopped right here and how nervous I was as a 16-year-old. But I was so driven to get to be a part of the program, and it meant so much to me that I would, you know, do something as kind of inconsequential as, you know, getting better at driving. But when there were obstacles, I just went, okay. And it was harder in high school with all the studying, but it really meant a lot to me. And when you find something that you're passionate about, as you know, it will motivate you to do the things that other people sometimes aren't willing to do. And because you care, you know, you're so laser focused on something that you love because it's fun. And I had to do that again in college because I actually was accepted as an English major, and I wanted to graduate with a theater degree. And at the time, they said, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot if what you have to do is take nothing but theater classes and then apply. But there's a chance that if you don't get into the program, you've spent all these credits on a different major. But I just was so confident. I knew I was going to get in. I was willing to work hard, to take all the classes I needed to do the auditioning. And it worked out for me, and I was accepted right away and ended up, you know, graduating with a degree in theater. And but again,
from
you just,
UCLA, right?
UCLA. And you have to take risks for something that you want and have focus and confidence in your goals that and your dreams. I think you said that at the beginning that, you know, if following your dreams is never a bad thing, and it just requires some hard work and focused attention on it, but and belief.
Well, and,
you know,
and the thing is that college costs so much and it takes so much time that unless somebody really knows what they want to do, to me, it seems like it would be an incredible waste of time and money for kids to go to college without knowing what they're going to do at all. And so that's why I think it's so important that they listen, like you said. And when you're saying listen to their heart, listen to their own spirit.
Yeah.
What do they feel called to do? What do they think they would really enjoy learning and doing? And they may have to try a whole bunch of different things in order to figure it out, but to be able to try those things and to have people believe in you and say, you can do it, you can try all these different things, and to feel good, like you were saying about being willing to make a mistake, to feel good just because you tried. I remember before I started doing the radio show, I had been wanting to do it for quite a while. It was something I just felt called to do. So it seemed a little crazy and overwhelming, but I really felt like I needed to do it. And, and then I started thinking, well, what if I ask myself, what do I have to gain by trying? Instead of, you know, how unconsciously we start asking ourselves, what do I have to lose by trying? You know, it might not work out or all these things. Or,
right.
You know, and all these conversations that go on in your own head that, you know, that come from other people and fear of failure and all of the fear of looking stupid. And then when I started changing that question, though, to what do I have to gain by trying, I realized, you know, even if it doesn't work out, I'm going to feel really proud of myself just for trying.
Yeah.
And when you start looking at it that way, to feel proud of yourself for trying, then you're much more willing to make the mistakes that you need to make in order to get to a point where you feel confident about what you're doing.
You're reminding me of when I moved back from Los Angeles, and I was still kind of toying with the idea of getting a master's in theater, I auditioned for the Yale School of Drama. And the Yale School of Drama takes about 12 people in the entire country, and they get thousands of submissions. And I could have felt really embarrassed that I didn't get accepted, but I knew that it was 100% certain I would never go to Yale if I didn't even audition and apply. And it's like what you said, that you should feel proud of trying, because you know if you don't try, it's 100% certainty that you won't make it. But if you are willing to throw your hat in there and go, well, this is a hard thing, it's the chances are really slim, but the chances are zero if I don't even do it. So I might as well just be proud of myself that I auditioned and I gave it my all, and and not feel like, well, gosh, I must not be that talented if I wasn't chosen. No, there's thousands of people who weren't chosen who are equally talented for whatever the blend of the candidates that they see. And and I've always hung on to that, that if you don't try at all, you're certain of failure. But
oh, yeah.
If you do try, I mean, you have nothing to lose. And I, again, taking it back to the kids I work with, I want them to figure that out sooner. I feel like as an adult, I'm embracing so much more now the idea of doing what you love. Am I happy at this? What else gives me passion? What could I, you know, what do I enjoy with my time? What am I willing to risk to push myself to new experiences? You know, it could have come a little bit sooner in my life, I think, that
idea. Me too. In fact, that's
following.
Jenny, that was why I felt so inspired to write my book, The Art of Living Life You Love, was because when I first started writing a book, I was going to write about color originally, and then Xander had come to me. It was just before he was 12 years old. And so he had come to me and he had said, but Mom, I thought you were writing a book that was for me too. And I thought, you know, that's what I want to do, is I want to write a book for Xander, for all the people I know, my clients, whoever could benefit by it, of what I wish I'd known before I started high school, or at least before I started college, but that I'm so thankful to know now. And so often I have to reread my own book to remind myself of the things that I learned. So I was just going to say that
I pick up your book as a reminder so often of the important principles that you put in there in each of the chapters about coaching young people. It's just as applicable to adults. You know, when you go, oh, that's right, you know, surround myself with positive people, all the different ahas that I rediscover each time I look at that, because it does take work. Good kind of work, but it does take daily, weekly work at reminding yourself of the truths in life that help keep us living joyful lives and living our music. It takes attention to it. It doesn't mean it's difficult work, but it does take practice and routine and attention. But the more I do that...
And you just said the key word, too. One of them is practice, and another key word is focus. And that's what I've been realizing, is that it's practice. You have to practice thinking these thoughts. You have to practice looking at life in this way, because we get bombarded with so much distracting us and so much negativity and sensationalism in the world that it's so easy to get off track. And I know that happens to me, and I've talked to other people besides you that have said the same thing about, that's part of what they like about my book. And Xander also has recommended it to and given it to several of his friends, actually quite a few of his friends during college, and they like it too. And it my sister Tina loves to say that it's for everybody, though, from, you know, before high school all the way into their 90s or whatever, because the thing is that you can, even if you didn't love your life all the way up until you were 50 or 60 or whatever, you can still tune in, listen to your heart, and figure out what's calling you, what you want to do with the rest of the time you have on this beautiful planet we call Earth.
Yeah, that's just, time is short, and why waste it, you know, in it with something that's drudgery? Why waste it, you know, feeling like, oh, I can't, I don't have enough time, I'm too old, you know, people my age don't suddenly pick up and start racing mountain bikes, but I swear that's what gives me so much joy lately, is going and meeting other people who like to ride the trails, who enjoy nature, who, you know, I feel like I I'm lucky to have a healthy heart, healthy lungs, you know, to get out there and enjoy it instead of, you know, and I have a good sense of humor about it. When I was lined up at a race recently, you know, the women were kind of nervous, and I said, you know, what are we competing for? The Olympics? No, but we just have to have, you know, we're in our 40s. There's no Olympics coming, but just loving it. And there's always a moment once I hear the gun go off where I start riding and I remember, I am so lucky to be healthy and out doing what I love. It's not about winning. It's about the joy I get from enjoying the beautiful trails, from the people I meet, and it's bringing more good things to my life just from kind of listening to my husband, listening to me. I'm meeting more people. I'm you know, an example to my students. I'm bringing cycling to my students as well, to their parents. And even though it's not necessarily my job, so to speak, it's bringing me as much joy and kind of rounding out my middle school experience.
That's one of the points about living your music is the music that you hear calling you is sometimes partly your work, or it can be your work, but it also can be things that you do that enrich your life and enrich other people's lives, and then maybe at some point they do bring in money, but they don't always, it's not always just to bring in money. It could be being a great parent or grandparent or doing a million other things. We're running out of time. I knew we would, because you always have so much time, so much to talk about. But I just wanted to remember to say that next week my guest will be Skye Dyer, and she is one of Wayne Dyer's 8 children. And we're going to be talking about her new EP album called Letting Go, and I'll be playing the title song from that. It's called Letting Go. And we'll be talking about why she wrote it and also talk about letting go and how important that is in life, that we have to let go of the past in order to live now and to enjoy the future. And I had such a good time when Xander was growing up, Jenny, that for me, letting go is definitely a topic I need to talk about, because it's been so hard letting go of the memories. And I finally realized, you know, I don't have to let go of the memories. I can bring them back partly by talking with you and other parents and looking at the pictures and thinking about that and enjoying and being grateful for who he is now, that he's a happy and successful person who is a good person and who is enjoying his life. And I know that's what you want for your children, too.
Yeah, to be at our children's school conferences, what my husband and I always asked is not about their academic success. We always said, how are they towards others? Are they kind? Are they nice to the kids in the class? Are they good people in the class? I mean, that was always, and still is, what matters to us, is what energy they're putting out there in the universe. Is it, you know, positive? Are they the person who picks up the papers when someone drops it? Are they the person who helps the kid next to them get on the right page of the book, or explain something with patience versus exasperation? You know, are they helpful?
Oh, kindness is so important, and to live life, both courage and kindness is really the thing that is the most amazing, where you can be brave enough to try the things, and also remember to value being kind to people.
Yeah.
That's so important.
My kids hear me say to them, you know, you don't have to blow, I didn't make this up, as you know, you don't have to blow someone else's candle out to make your own shine bright. I just want them to always, it's getting back to the top of our conversation about who you are, be yourself, there's only one you, and if you're really living your music and you're doing what you're called to do, like you said, whether it's your sport, your art, your hobby, or your profession, or all of it, your light is going to glow so much, because...
And you can light other people's lights.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Jenny, we're out of time.
Well,
everyone,
so great.
I'm so thankful to have this conversation with you. And I hope everyone out there will listen to their hearts and listen to what music's calling you. Jenny, thank you so much for being on the show today, and I really look forward to the next time I get to talk with you.
Same here. Thank you so much for allowing me to come on and talk about the things that I care about. So I appreciate it so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and bye for now.